We all want to be happy, and today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe discusses the biblical path to genuine happiness.
When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you are a joyful person. There's a contentment, there's a happiness, there's a spring to your walk, there's a hope to your view of the future. Why? Because the Spirit of God has filled you with the joy of God. You have a different perspective on life.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and last week on the program, Mark began a series on what the Bible teaches about finding true happiness. As we began looking into the Psalms, we came to realize just how impactful our choices can be. What we choose to focus on and who we choose to spend time with can have major consequences on our experience of joy. Now, before we continue with the third part of this lesson on the power of choices, let me encourage you to visit our website and catch up on anything you might have missed last week by going to boldstepsradio.org. Now, here's Mark Jobe with today's lesson.
If I've had a bad experience in marriage, then I become cynical about marriage. If I don't deal with my cynicism, it turns into scorn about marriage. And you hear me say, I'll never get married again. No, not me. That's not for me. I'm not going to put that ball and chain on me. No way. You think that's a piece of paper? That's never going to happen. I run into a whole generation of 20-something-year-olds that don't want to get married. You know why they don't want to get married? Because they have seen dysfunction and brokenness in their parents' marriage. And so when we talk about marriage, they have a distaste in their mouth for marriage. Listen to me well. Look up at me. This is really important. Some of you are here today, and you can barely get close to God because you've had a bad experience with religious institutions. You were hurt, disappointed, rejected, not loved, not fit in, condemned. And so you've developed sometimes a cynicism towards all things related to God. How do I know? Because I talk to people all the time that have had a bad experience. And they're cynical towards church, God, the Bible, and anything that even smells a little religious. And if you're not careful, that cynicism can turn to scorn. That scorn can turn to rejection. And you can wake up one day wondering why you're not close to God, why you don't have a relationship with God, because you've allowed the hurt that someone, a church, a person, a group, projected onto this God that loves you more than what you could ever imagine or fathom, a God of grace and second chances, and you've allowed your hurt and cynicism to keep you away from the very one that could give you the fulfillment of your life. So the writer of the psalmist is telling us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, the one who does not stand in the pathway of sinners, and who does not sit in the seat of the scoffers. And then he switches gears, and he begins to tell us what actually brings wholeness and happiness to our life. And by the way, can I say this about falling down into a place of contempt, cynicism, and scorn? It doesn't happen overnight. We wake up one day and we realize that we've allowed it to happen to our soul. It's kind of like that person, I read a little comic strip where the wife is telling her husband, hey, no more ice cream. You don't fit into your pants anymore. You're going to get a heart attack. And so he's telling her, no, I will not have any more of my favorite ice cream. The next scene, he is walking by a billboard advertising his favorite ice cream, and he's saying to himself, I'm going to look, but I'm not going to stare. The next scene, he says, I'm going to stare, but I'm not going to go into the store. The next scene, I'm going to go to the store, but I'm not going to go in. I'm just going to look at the from the window. The next scene, I'm going to go in, but I'm not going to buy any ice cream. I just want to look. Final scene, he's sitting there with an empty bowl. And a little ice cream on his lip. And he says to himself, how did I get here? Can I tell you something? You don't just get there. It's a series of choices. Compromising your convictions. One choice at a time that leads you to a place where you wake up one day and you say, how did I get here? Well, it wasn't one big choice. It usually is a series of small choices that leads you to the wrong place. Now, the psalmist gives us some hope here, though. He switches gears in the next verses, and he starts talking to us about what actually brings happiness, contentment, blessedness. He says, listen, but blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Hear me for a second. The psalmist is telling us that one of the reasons that we're so unhappy is it's what we think about the most and what we focus on the most. And so he says, if you really want to be happy, it's about the people you hang with, but it's also about the thoughts that you focus on. What is influencing your thinking? What is affecting your perspective, your attitude? What is it that's really affecting how you see the world? And the psalmist is telling us, listen, blessed is the person who delights in thinking about the laws of God and the word of God and the scripture. Blessed is the person whose mind is being shaped by the God factor. I talk to people sometime, and anxiety, fear, loneliness has been at a massive elevated scale the last couple of years. And someone will come to me and say, I don't know why I'm here, how I got here, but I can barely get out of bed and I see the world very dark and we're going in a dark place and I'm full of anxiety and I wonder about the war in the Ukraine and our economy and violence and I'm worried that my kid's going to be shot and that I'm not going to have a job and do I have enough for retirement and where's this world going? It's spinning out of control and I wake up in the morning and I'm anxious and at 3 o'clock in the morning I can't go to bed because my mind is racing, worried about all these things, and during the day I just feel this gloom upon me, a darkness upon me, and it's hard to live with. I've lost my joy. I don't see a future that's very bright, and I don't know how to change it. And I say, well, talk to me about what you're thinking, what you're watching, what you're hearing. Well, I get up in the morning because I can't sleep, and I scroll through my news feed on my phone. Do you realize that social media and many of the search engines have algorithms that cater to whatever you're interested in? And if you spend a few minutes on a bad negative news story, they think, aha, this person likes bad negative news stories. So they keep feeding you more and more bad negative news stories because you seem to be fixated on it. And so they pop up, every bad thing pops up, the negative news pops up, and so pretty soon all you have on your feed is one bad news after another. And you read it, and you get more depressed and more depressed, and you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep, you look at it, and you go to sleep, you try to go to sleep, you get more depressed. You wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you say, let me just check what time it is, and you see a news pop up, you read the story and you're a little bit more depressed. Then you turn on the news and you just hear this avalanche of negative news and everything that's going wrong in the world. And you hear about a virus that started in Africa and that could make its way to the U.S. and it gets into your toenail and makes its way into your leg and gets to your heart and affects your brain, and you turn out with Alzheimer's. And so you have a little pain in your knee, and you say, I got it. I'm the first in America to get that African virus. I know it's here. I know it's going to get me. And so you're worried the whole time about that virus that's going to hit you, and you wonder when you're going to start losing your mind. And you know what? You live your life escalating fear in your heart, anxiety about your children, about everything else. Listen, why? You know what? You are feeding the darkest part of your thinking. And what would happen? I'm wondering what would happen if you got up in the morning and instead of reaching and grabbing your smartphone, you grabbed your Bible.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and we will continue in a minute. Remember, you can always find these daily messages and share them with a friend by going online to boldstepsradio.org or subscribe to our podcast. You'll find us on most platforms like Apple and Spotify by searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And Mark, since today is Monday, that means that many of us just received your latest edition of the weekly email devotional you send out. We call it the Bold Stepper Weekly.
That's right. The Bold Stepper Weekly is our free devotional. It's designed really to help you get a jump start every Monday, jump into the week with a devotional thought. But we also give ministry updates, let you know what's happening. And tomorrow, actually, is Moody Bible Institute's Giving Day, which I'm excited about because we do this once a year. And it's a celebration of really what God is doing at the Moody Bible Institute. Many of you know this, but students attend Moody. If you're on campus, living on campus in Chicago, they attend tuition free. And so this is an opportunity to celebrate with alumni. It's an opportunity for people really all around the country to give to Moody Bible Institute for the training of the next generation of world changers. And I love it.
Yeah, we're so grateful for that support, aren't we? And the Bold Stepper Weekly is a great way to stay in touch with us. By the way, the devotional that Mark shares in each Bold Stepper Weekly can now be heard by simply clicking on the audio link in the email. That way you can listen instead of read, if you choose to, making it more convenient for that early morning routine. So if you haven't already, sign up today for the Bold Stepper Weekly by visiting our website, boldstepsradio.org, boldstepsglobal.com. Now, let's get back to our study on the power of choices in our pursuit of happiness. Here again is Mark.
I'm just kind of wondering what would happen if you would turn to a psalm and you would read about the sovereignty of God, how he's in control of all things. And if you go to 1 Peter and say, casting all your cares upon me because I care for you. And you learn about that God has the beginning and the end, that he's in control, that he's got a plan, that in the end God wins, his justice overcomes everything, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, that there's nothing beyond his control, that he's omniscient, that he's omnipresent, that he's omnipotent, and you start reading about the goodness of God and the grace of God and the love of God. And when you're feeling alone, you realize that God will never leave me or forsake me. When you're feeling condemned or full of shame, you realize that God can forgive you. When you're worried about the future, you realize that God has a plan and a future, and ultimately that he wins. I wonder what would happen if when you went to bed at night, you said, instead of thinking about everything that can go wrong, you say, I'm going to give thanks to God for 10 things. Thank you that I'm breathing. Thank you that I have friends around me. Thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you that I have food in my stomach. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that you've forgiven me. I wonder what would happen If during the day you would pause and thank God, I wonder what would happen before you eat your meal if you say, thank you, Lord, you are good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wonder what would start to happen to your thinking if you started allowing your focus and what saturates your mind be the goodness and the power of God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to live like an ostrich with my head in the ground. Listen, I'm not talking about ignoring. I'm talking about being cognizant of the spiritual reality that oversees the physical reality that we live in. And the Bible says, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And then he says this, listen. And on his law he meditates. Say meditate. Meditate. Day and night. So what does it mean to meditate? Well, some of the popular concepts of meditation is you gotta sit cross-legged. That eliminates half of us here. Just to get that one leg over the other, as you spend about an hour trying to do that, say, forget this meditation stuff. Then you gotta put your fingers kind of a certain way, I guess. You gotta empty your mind of all thought. And you gotta say, oh, and think about nothingness. That's a little bit of secular Eastern influence meditation. The Word of God doesn't talk about that. It's not about emptying our mind. When the Word of God talks about meditating, it's talking about ruminating on truths found in the Word of God. Emptying your mind of worry and distraction and filling your mind on truth that you digest, that you think about, that you allow to saturate your soul. And stay with me, something you don't just read, but you allow it to stay with you throughout the day, that you think about it, go back to it, wonder about it, saturate your soul, and affect the way you view the world. That's meditation. That's biblical meditation. And listen, he says, so you delight in the law of the Lord. Whatever you tend to do a lot of, whatever you have an appetite for, you delight in. Some of you just, if I want to put a smile on your face, you're kind of having a bad day, and you just put some food in front of you, you're like, yeah. Because you delight in that food, you have an appetite for it. Whatever you have an appetite for, it tends to delight you. Some of you binge watch something that, and just to think the next episode comes out, just you delight in it. Or that new Amazon package that comes out, you're delighted. You don't know what's in there. You don't care what's in there. It could be $5, could be $20. You're just happy to open up the package and just the adrenaline rush you get from opening up the package. Whatever you have an appetite for, you delight in. I'm wondering if you're developing an appetite for the Word, for the truth of God. Oh, there's the Bible. Do I want to? No. When you delight in it, you develop an appetite. You want to open it up. You get excited about learning, growing, eating of it, reading it. You develop an appetite. And let me tell you, sometimes it's a learned appetite. You have to do it enough to enjoy it. You have to, you know, some of you have told me about working out that when you started working out, you hated it. It was a discipline. You had to drag yourself to the gym. But then you said, after I've done it for a while, it's part of what I do. It's part of my rhythm, and if I don't do it, I feel like, man, something's missing. I need to do that. Why? You develop an appetite for something that in the beginning was difficult. The Word of God sometimes is that way as well. You develop an appetite for the Word of God. You delight in it. It starts to be a part of the rhythm of what really helps you go forward and grow. And lastly, he closes up this passage by saying, what does genuine happiness look like? Well, that person that's meditating on the Word of God, delighting in the Word of God, their mind is focused not by the news junkies, but by the Word. that you are hanging out with people that are positive influence on your life, that share some of your values, that you're not taking the counsel of the Word, but you've chosen your friends, then he says that person that's in the Word, choosing the right people around them, that person is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings fruit in the season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. That's the way you are. What does that mean for us? Well, you probably haven't been compared to a tree that much, but it means that you're near life-giving water. You're fresh. You're producing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is in your life. By the way, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It starts off with, it's the character that's produced in us. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. The second is joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you are a joyful person. When you're filled with the Spirit of God and know the God that's inside of you, there's a joy about you. It doesn't mean you always go around with a silly smile on your face, but there's a contentment. There's a happiness. There's a spring to your walk. There's a hope to your view of the future. Why? Because the Spirit of God has filled you with the joy of God. You have a different perspective on life.
Powerful lesson about our choices and perspective. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, a lesson titled The Power of Choices. To revisit today's message or share it with a friend, just go online to boldstepsradio.org. And Mark, I know right now someone is listening and thinking to themselves, but Mark, you don't know my situation. My circumstances are just too difficult to feel joy. What would you say to that person?
I would say you're right. I don't know your particular circumstances, and I'm sure there's certain people right now that feel just the weight of a marriage that's struggling, the pressure of maybe some sort of physical ailment that you may have, or financial pressure, job situation, and it is hard to keep our joy. But I want to remind you of this. Joy is not tied to our circumstances. Joy floats above our circumstances because joy is not derived from what we're going through. It's derived from something bigger than that, from an inner contentment. I always think of the Apostle Paul when in prison, yet there's a joy that he speaks about. In fact, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, the book of joy, in prison. And it always strikes me that he's in prison under house arrest, yet he's writing about the joy of God more than ever before. So I want to challenge you and encourage you, regardless of your circumstances, I want you to ask that God would fill you with the Spirit, that God would give you the right perspective, and that God would remind you that He is on the throne and that you have a reason to experience joy.
All right. Thank you, Mark. You know, a lot of Christians are facing some difficult situations right now. In today's cancel culture, standing up for the values and teachings of God's Word can come with some pretty nasty responses, even threats.
You're right. And I have to admit, as a pastor in the city of Chicago, my life has been threatened on multiple occasions. We've had bomb threats at our church. I have been physically threatened. I've had very nasty mail sent to me. But here's the thing. Jesus said, expect that. That's part of living in a countercultural way. What we can't allow a culture that doesn't understand Christianity to do is to silence us. And that's why I'm really happy that we are promoting as our gift of the month for Bold Steps, Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, We Will Not Be Silenced. Because he reminds us that in a culture that tries to quiet our voice, tell us to sit down and shut up, it's more imperative than ever that we raise our voice in the name of Jesus and in a gracious, bold way
like Christians have done through the centuries, that we proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. And so we would love to put this book in your hands. I think it'll encourage some of you that feel the pressure to sit down by the culture that surrounds you.
Yeah, we really would like to send you a copy of We Will Not Be Silenced. Just send us a donation of any amount to Bold Steps. Go online to do that, boldstepsradio.org, or give us a call at 800-356-6639, or remember the number as 800-DL-MOODY. You can also write a check and send that in the mail along with your request for this Bold Step gift by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And before we close, we want to let you know that you can now find Bold Steps Radio on YouTube. We'll be sharing some special videos from Mark, including behind-the-scenes content and exclusive video messages on topics like discovering your purpose, handling hurt in relationships, and much more. So log on to YouTube, search for Bold Steps Radio, and subscribe today. While you're at it, go ahead and join us on your social media accounts as well by searching Facebook and Instagram for Bold Steps Radio. Well, that's our time for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to join us again tomorrow when we'll begin a brand new lesson about the habits of peacemakers. Find out how and why we as believers need to be able to empathize with the world around us as we continue our study called The Pursuit of Happiness. And that's Tuesday here on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.